Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you're going to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve and Larson. Available wherever fine podcasts are. Please hit that subscribe button and the notify bell on the YouTubes. Otherwise, YouTube will desubscribe you. Notify bell lets you know whenever there's new Going In Raw content, Larson, which
yes.
is a little more thin this week than usual.
Well, and next week, too, there's
programming note
stuff going on. We're going to the G1 specials this week in Long Beach. Therefore, no count out, no Going In Raw view this weekend. We will still review WrestleMania 25. That will happen next weekend. Also, beginning of next week, 4th of July. Similar to how we're doing our Raw and SmackDown recaps this week, next week as well, Super Show on Wednesday.
Yes, correct. Yes, that is correct. We're also, did you say we're going to the G1 thing?
Yes, I said
so,
that.
Okay, so the fact that we're not doing those things is kind of made up for because we're doing some extra videos.
Yes.
Because of what we're doing. So yesterday, some of you may know, we were invited by 2K Games to come and get some info on 2K18. Very exciting stuff. We're going to have a video for that for you on July the 5th. And then we're going to do like a travel vlog and then a recap video for the G1
yes.
special in Long Beach. So it's going to be some cool. I like whenever we get to get out of the studio a little bit.
Yeah, it's always nice.
And do something different.
Yeah.
Not just you coming over. Yeah, trust me, I don't like you in my house either. You got a little smile on your face. Anyways. We're really going to talk about both Raw and SmackDown?
Yeah. And answer some questions.
So much.
I know. It's like the Trio O days, 2.5 hour show.
Oh, by the way, we're also at prowrestlingtees.com/ Going In Raw. I got that the OG Internet Friendos tag team shirt.
So
it's there now.
11 designs.
It's there now.
Now.
The white and yellow on black design is there now.
Now.
Although the thing that I liked about TeePublic is that you can get that design on whatever color shirt you want.
I know. I like that too.
Including Heathered shirts like that right there.
I wish I really want the Cold Water Larson shirt to be on a
shirt
like this.
There is no she gotta make it, man.
You have to send me that picture you took.
No.
Yes, that's a requirement. I can't make the shirt without picture.
Without those exact pictures?
Well, I need just one of me looking disgruntled, and I believe you took one.
Oh, you just pull any still from the podcast, and you're good to go.
Well, I need a higher quality image.
I got you. All right. I know sometimes, like, my iPad, which is, like, huge, will, if I open up my camera stream there, you know, it all goes to the cloud, and I'll pull it up, and your giant, highly detailed face. Like, it gets more detailed than I'm looking at you now. It's weird. No good.
I don't think that's the case. But
anyways. It is actually. It's so weird because like the lighting is there. It's weird.
Mm.
Like I also have really bad vision. I got LASIK, but I think they messed it up. I'm joking.
It's news to me.
I'm joking.
Okay, let's talk about Raw. Raw.
All right, let's run through this Raw.
Do
we have to talk about the details? Can we just talk about Lonzo LeVar Ball rather for like 45 minutes and then move on to SmackDown? Can we only talk about LeVar Ball?
Well, no, we should talk about the Gauntlet match on Raw because that was good.
That was really good. Okay, so here's the thing. Explain to me. Everybody said Raw was crap this week. Maybe by the time I get through this, my opinion will have changed.
Okay.
Maybe it was sort of the method in which I watched Raw this week. I skipped through all the commercials. I watched it again on my PlayStation View.
Mm-hmm.
I watched everything but the Gauntlet match. I watched everything yesterday except for the Gauntlet match today.
Here's the thing.
Was it good?
Well, it wasn't okay, good. I just found it by and large fairly uninteresting.
See, I didn't find it boring. I thought it might have been bad, but I don't think it was boring. And the Gauntlet match was cool. It was a great way to end the show.
Yeah, well, it was a good match.
I thought there was some good stuff. How do you not like at the beginning, Roman Reigns, he comes out to drop a promo. You know, they need to declare on that guy. Either just be arrogant and kind of a prick, Or I don't know what he's.
No, no. Either be arrogant and be a prick. Not yeah. kind of. That's the problem because right now he is kind of a prick.
Well, last week I thought he was kind of a prick. A prick is like a guy who like straight up cheats and acts like a complete jerk.
Well, I think he
last week he was kind of a prick.
I think he could act like a jerk and not have to cheat and still yeah. be a prick.
Yeah.
I think the second or the first part, being a jerk, is the most important of the two.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. But not like an over, like, you know, there's jerks and there's like real jerks.
Yeah, I know.
Last week he was just sort of a trolling jerk. I like yes. that. That's yes. good. But he just sort of wasn't doing that this week. It wasn't really there.
Not that much.
It wasn't really there. Anyways, he accepts Braun Strowman's challenge. Scott Steiner shows up.
Yeah.
Holla! If you hear me!
It wasn't Scott Steiner, it was an ambulance.
I thought we were. Are we going to do a Slammiversary review?
There's too much stuff to do, man.
No, man. We're going to be in Long Beach for Slammiversary. I might load it up my Fight TV app, though.
Have at it.
Afterwards, do my Slammiversary review, Larson.
There you go. Have at it.
It's all about my Impact reviews at youtube.com/.
Check them out. I'm sure MF Steve sure they're great. I haven't had a chance to watch
them. The number of comments. You don't have to watch them. The number of comments I got from people saying, I thought this was going to be a joke, but you totally did it.
A lot of times we say things.
I wasn't joking, people.
A lot of time we say we're going to do things, we don't do them. But this is a rare occasion where
it's
it actually
really
happened.
There. Anyways, Braun Strowman pulls up in an ambulance, or so Roman Reigns thought.
Yeah.
He goes over there and, you know, like
with trepidation.
Yeah, well, yeah, I would be too. It's like the guy who hears a strange noise in the basement and goes down there in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go to the ambulance, Roman. Run away.
Yeah.
Braun is scary. Anyways, he opens up the doors. Nobody's there. Crowd boos. Braun Strowman runs out from behind him, attacks him. He throws him into the ambulance. Bang. Braun Strowman wins the ambulance match.
Well, he throws him into the ambulance against the side of it when they're on the stage.
Mm.
And then he throws
that was cool.
him into the ambulance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Closes the door. Ambulance drives off. Strowman wins.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
Short ambulance match.
Let's see here. So I like that. That was a strong way to start the show.
Perfectly
right?
fine.
Perfectly fine. Okay. So not uninteresting. Next up, the Drifter is out there with Sheamus and Cesaro. This bugged me.
Yeah, I didn't like this either.
Didn't even let him get.
I didn't like Sheamus and Cesaro being out there.
I didn't like that either. But it was something kind of different. I'm not going to criticize it for being a little bit different. I just don't think it was necessary for them to be there. They didn't add anything.
No.
I want Elias Sampson, and I want at least part of a song.
Elias should be a solo act.
I know. And they
because whenever he says, who wants to walk with the Drifter, no one should ever walk with the Drifter.
No, I agree. And this match right here was complete filler. So notch one in your category.
Well, here's the thing. In the first 75 minutes of the show, there was 2 6-man tag matches.
Yeah, but yeah, Goldust beating up R-Truth, and he has a personal cameraman. That was cool.
Yeah, but there's too many 6-man tag matches. That's filler.
And yet you're a huge fan of New Japan. That's like all they do. They do like 8-man tag matches every single...
No, that's not all they do. That's for their...
But that smile on your face, you know I'm right. Kind of.
Well, those tag matches in New Japan are filler, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not arguing that.
And there's a lot of them. There are so many of them.
On the Road 2 shows, yeah, but on the actual major shows, there's... 2, maybe 3.
How many major shows do they have? Like, what, 3 a year? The rest of them are all Road 2s, which is weird.
No, it's not true.
Math doesn't work on that one, Larson.
No, it's actually not right.
All right, anyways, this this particular 6-man match, I didn't see much of a point to it. I don't know what they're doing with Finn Balor. Like, he's the guy here that should be doing something. Drifter should be doing something. Dean had to deal with that LeVar Ball crap. Yeah, I didn't care for this. Anyways, Drifter's out there with Sheamus and Cesaro. He's about to sing a song about Los Angeles because they were at Staples Center.
And the Hardy Boys, music hits, interrupts the Drifter. They mm-hmm. come out. Finn comes out.
Mm-hmm.
They have a match. It's decent enough.
Matt Hardy was once again really teasing the broken stuff very, mm-hmm. very heavily.
I did like when Finn was doing his entrance and raising his arms.
Yeah.
Matt Hardy would do the wonderful pose. That was funny. Did you notice that?
Good. I noticed once he got in the ring, I noticed they did a great shot of Jeff in the foreground, Matt just behind him, and then Finn in the far background, and they were both into it. I didn't notice it like when he was up on the ramp.
No, it was when I think he was on the turnbuckle.
Yeah, yeah, okay. That's what I saw too. That's what I saw too. That's what I saw too. No, I did see that. That is good. Oh, that's
so those little funny details, but this match didn't really do anything to enhance any story.
No, it did nothing. I don't know why. No.
Finn picks up the win with coup de grace.
Oh, that's right. Elias saying him and Finn Balor are kind of feuding right now.
Yeah.
I feel like this could have been 2 segments that advanced stuff. Then we got another Goldust promo followed by Goldust versus R-Truth. Finally, we're here at the Shattered Truth, his latest production. He has his own cameraman. Kind of disappointed the cameraman didn't have, like, I don't know, a different camera. It was just like a dolled up normal like TV camera.
Yeah, but it was painted gold.
I wanted like a 16, like an Arri.
Yeah.
What are they? What do we call those back in the day? The Arri what?
I don't remember. It was an old 16. Like 20 years ago, man.
I'm surprised you don't remember that. So, yeah, he had a personal cameraman. That was kind of cool.
Gold Dust attacks R-Truth before the match even starts. No match even happens.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm sure they'll have a match at Great Balls of Fire.
Sounds like it. I like that they've gone back to the great, the, like the Balls logo, too.
I don't think they officially ever changed it. I know there was talk that they
did. Yeah, there was
talk
that they were going to, and they showed.
I feel like the actual balls in the Great Balls of Fire are more pronounced now than they were in the. I feel like
somebody suggested they should stay away from it, and Vince said, "No, make them more like testicles.
Double down."
And I want that shaft of fire to be fully erect. Oh, that did not do good.
Yeah,
things to my
something's
throat.
Going on with your throat. You should not do that. Next, we had a Paul Heyman interview. That was interrupted by Samoa Joe.
Samoa Joe was kind of a creep in this.
What are you saying? You know, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to do anything to you, Paul, because I'm saving it for Brock.
Yeah.
Essentially.
So Joe only has one finisher that he can bank. Like, he can only bank that one submission finisher. Mm-hmm. Can't have two.
No. Next, there was like a drawing backstage.
It's like a lottery.
Yeah, Kurt Angle's office determined placement in the women's gauntlet match that was the main event of the show. So Bayley drew her number and seemed to... intrigued, content.
Yeah, I don't really know what that look was. Nobody ever draws a number. Was like, what the? You know.
Although, you know, based on how the order played out during the main event, if I had drawn her number, that would have been my reaction.
I know, right? I know. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't act like it's a freak. Not everything in life is a gift, Bailey.
Yeah.
You know, express something like, look at this and go like, oh,
it's like, this is bogus, man.
Exactly. Try to get Kurt to look the other way before you pop it back in and grab a new one. That was crap.
All right, next. Miz TV with the Ball family.
Oh, man. I don't know whether I love this or hated it, man, but let's get your reaction first. So, Miz TV is out. Maurice is still doing the no-selling his,
affection, his PDA,
if you will. And he announces the Ball family. Now, a lot of you out there might not know the story of this. Even I was kind of tangentially aware. Like, they sort of popped up on my radar around, you know, March Madness.
Mm-hmm.
And then I really started learning who they are. And then every once in a while, LeVar Ball. So basically, number two pick in the NBA draft. He was a star at UCLA.
Correct. Lonzo Ball,
Who actually is a legitimately good basketball player. But then he has a younger brother who's in college now, right?
I think he's going to be a freshman next year.
Okay. And he's supposed to be decent.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there's like the super younger brother who's in high school now.
Yeah.
And he's hot or cold. He's right. Didn't he score like 92 points?
Yeah,
in a game?
But most of the time he was just staying back and not playing a defense. It was during an AAU game, I think.
So, okay. I like to give people the benefit of the doubt. That's what I'm going to do on the show today.
So, but also, the patriarch of the family, LeVar Ball, is very outspoken.
Yes. And he is trying his damnedest to be an entrepreneur. He's trying to exploit or assist his sons in making the most of their worth, of their brand. And he has established a company called
Big Baller Brand.
Great. And there was sort of some infamy in the sports/shoes world.
Oh, yeah. They're charging $500 for shoes.
They're of their own creation. So yeah. They tried to do like a licensing type arrangement.
Well, usually when a draft prospect comes out of college, if they're highly touted, they're going to be in the top 10 or whatever. Shoe companies will go to them and offer them a contract to sign with them as an endorsement.
I know this
deal.
Because booty juice on my NBA 2K series. Yeah.
But LeVar wanting to establish his own brand immediately, from my understanding, didn't want to accept that kind of arrangement. He wanted a licensing deal from Nike or Adidas to license the Big Baller brand and essentially form a partnership with the shoe company rather than have Lonzo sign a contract with that shoe company.
Yeah.
And none of the shoe companies were going to do that.
Right.
They all said no.
Right. So they just released
instead of potentially getting a $10 or $20 million shoe contract, they sold, you know, like a couple thousand, I think, of the first model of Lonzo Ball's signature
shoe. Retails for how much?
$500.
$500.
$495. There's also slides That I think are $200.
$200, yeah.
And then $60 for a t-shirt. That's my understanding.
Oh, man. I know you're getting for Christmas this year a Big Baller Brand t-shirt.
Ooh.
No, I'll probably get you the Hard on Egg shirt. So, anyways, that's the ball. And he's like LeVar Ball. He goes on. He's been on all sorts of talk radio shows, sports radio shows.
He used to be. He played college basketball, I think, at Washington State.
Okay.
But as far as I know, he has no professional basketball experience.
Right, right. And so, anyways, you know, he's made some controversial statements in the past. Nothing super like offensive or anything. I think the worst of it was he was on Colin Coward's show and then told his female co-host to stay in your lane, acting sort of dismissive with the implication that, well, you're a woman, you're not supposed to be involved in man talk kind of thing. So stay in your lane. Then he ended up putting that on a Big Baller shirt. So all that being said, he's a colorful character. And so, after the NBA draft last week, it broke that Raw was looking to get him and his sons on Raw. And so Miz TV, perfect segment for them. Well, I didn't realize that LeVar Ball, A, was going to be such a happy individual because he came out there beaming.
Yeah.
And does the weirdest run I've ever seen in my life from about mid-ramp to the actual ring and then slid into the ring, ended up on his back and started like wailing around in excitement.
Yeah.
It's the weird, and it makes for the, I swear I watched this GIF probably 20 times in a row before I could scroll through Twitter because it is bizarre, weird, kind of entertaining, and hilarious all in one.
You know, we've had a couple contenders for worst segment of the year.
This isn't it. This
because
is not
it's,
it.
It's because it's so bizarre. It's such a train wreck.
Yeah.
That at no point is it boring.
Correct. Absolutely correct. It is definitely, would you say borderline cringeworthy or well past cringeworthy?
Oh, well past. Well past.
See, to me, here's my thing, too, is that LaMelo, the youngest one, and LeVar both seem to be getting like a legitimate kick out of their dad. They weren't embarrassed, which to me is kind of heart-touching because it's like, oh, well, at least they're not like, you know, dad, you're embarrassing me, that kind of crap. They seem to be getting, because LeVar Ball was all over the map.
Yes.
He gets on the mic, and it's fairly obvious he immediately goes off script.
Mm-hmm.
And Miz is, and thank God they got The Miz in there with this segment because The Miz knows how to improvise.
Yes.
He knows how to, he's well-versed in doing these celebrity segments. And so anyways, The Miz says something along, they all sit down, The Miz says something along the lines of, you know, it's great that you're out here to sign me to the Big Baller Brand, and LeVar Ball saying, no, that's not going to happen. You're not part of Big Baller Brand. The crowd kind of turns on LeVar Ball. I think they were kind of booing him in the first place. It was just a mess. It was an absolute mess.
Yeah.
Dean Ambrose eventually comes out. He's wearing a Big Baller Brand shirt.
Yeah. Wonder how, what he thought about that.
Oh, I don't know. You would think that would be the apex of, like, you know, the sellout moment for him. Like, I used to bleed for fun in CZW, and now I'm doing this. Or does he just all take it in stride and say, hey, you know what? This is a circus. This is what we do.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Be fascinating to know.
Yes.
But anyways, he comes down. What was kind of interesting is that, so this kind of made the news a little bit. I think when, and I didn't notice this on the PlayStation View bit, but apparently at one point, LaMelo uttered some words into the microphone that you're not supposed to say on live TV. You can look it up for yourself. Apparently Vince was very, very upset about this backstage. And what I did notice is that, when they went to commercial and came back for the match, cause that led to a match between Miz and Slater and Rhino.
Yeah, against Ambrose,
Slater and Rhino versus the Miztourage, which is
Axel and Bo Dallas.
The balls were nowhere to be found. And sometimes they keep celebrities.
Well, I
around.
Read today that based on how poorly that Miz TV segment went, the balls were supposed to stay around the ringside.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then they said no.
So my intuition was right on that one. Yeah. I wonder, to be a fly on the wall back there, I guess, huh? That match, we forgot to mention earlier also in the Finn Balor match, Josh Duhamel?
Oh, Josh Duhamel.
Duhamel.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was on commentary.
He was on commentary. He was virtually invisible, though.
Yeah, I know, but he wasn't cringeworthy.
No, not at all. No, he was there to promote something. He was good. They asked him why.
He didn't seem bored, and he also didn't seem uninterested.
Yeah, no.
He seemed engaged.
He seemed engaged. He seemed into it.
I think he's done... I know he's done segments for WWE in the past.
Oh, has he?
So maybe he's a fan. I don't know.
Okay. Could be.
But he's directing a movie that Sheamus is in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one of the things he was promoting. Oh,
like a USA movie or an actual movie?
I don't know.
Like WWE Network films? I don't know.
Anyways, that
was the match there.
Bo Dallas ended up rolling up Rhino for the win. So it's cool to see Bo Dallas get a win.
You can call it that. Yeah, absolutely.
What else would you call it? He got a pinfall victory.
Well, yeah. I mean, they did. He happened to be the guy who scored the
pick. Yeah,
I see what you're saying. I'm just saying, you know.
I'm just happy Bo Dallas got a win.
Me too. I'm very happy for him.
Let's talk about this Enzo and Cass segment.
That was great.
So Enzo comes out.
Literally everybody, even like, you know, the little 5-year-olds in the crowd saw this coming.
So Enzo comes out and gives a very impassioned promo about how
what's going to happen with Enzo.
He and Cass are family, and he's not going to let this friendship, this brotherhood, be broken up for any reason, apparently.
Yeah.
And so Cass comes out, you know, like Enzo just pours his heart out to him, and then Cass, you know, says, I was ashamed of what I did, of who I was last week. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They embrace.
Yeah.
Crowd pops.
You know what, though? That was the most hesitant pop I've ever heard. That was not a true pop. That was a,
It was, all right, let's hope this is, like, legit.
Yeah.
Fully realizing that probably
isn't. It was a probationary pop. Yes. That's
so
what it was.
They pop. They walk up the ramp. They raise their hands together. Cass gives Enzo a rainmaker.
That was like the weakest rainmaker. Let me ask you something. Do we have to dial back on calling things rainmakers when there isn't the full hug at the beginning?
I mean, yeah.
It's not as fun.
It's not.
Because
nobody ever does that. It's a wrist lock lariat's what it is.
Exactly. He gives him a rainmaker.
But it's more fun to call it a rainmaker.
It really is, because he drops on the rain, but it's so weak. Because they're on the ramp, and they're still best friends.
Yeah. So, and then Cass picks up Enzo and throws him down the ramp.
That got a gasp. Nobody saw that coming. Nobody thought he was going to chuck him like a bag of potatoes down the ramp. That was great. So, yeah, this is a really long, like, that was weird. So many segments took such a long time,
I know,
too. This took forever, man. They get forever to get from A to B.
I know.
There is not the sense of urgency.
No. Next, right after this, Cass goes to the commentary table and confronts Corey Graves, because Corey Graves is the one that said, hey, I have the security footage showing that Cass was never attacked.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cass says, stay out of my business, essentially.
Yeah. Well, he should.
Yeah. Next, we had Seth Rollins versus Curt Hawkins. Speaking of segments that went on too long, this match should have been about 30 seconds. I was surprised that Curt Hawkins got any offense in.
I kind of agree with that. They got to give him something, though, man. They got to give him something. It's Curt Hawkins. You know, I like Curt Hawkins. I don't like Curt Hawkins. But, like, I feel like he's got a voice with charisma.
Yeah.
I feel like, man, they really, really dropped the ball on him. Or maybe they didn't. I don't know.
No, I think they did. I think they thought that face the facts gimmick was going to go somewhere, and it just crapped the bed immediately.
I think it was one of those things where Vince, like, reluctantly went along with it because he didn't have anything else to
either go. That or it was his idea.
No. If this was his idea, Curt Hawkins would be Universal Champion right now. Are you kidding me? Anyways, yeah, so we got Seth Rollins versus Curt Hawkins. It was great because at the beginning, Curt Hawkins said something like,
Who here thinks I'm going to lose this match? He took a poll.
And then he went on Twitter and, like, he said, you know, if only more of LA was behind me, I could have won that match.
Yeah. So Rollins wins with his knee rainmaker.
Oh, so that's right. We actually got to see one of those.
Yeah.
Man.
And then Bray Wyatt showed up in the Titantron, I think, challenged him to a match at Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah, that's what I imagine it was. He just talked a bunch.
Next, Brock Lesnar arrives.
That feud could be so much more. Anyways,
I know.
Keep going.
Brock Lesnar arrives at the arena. Then we see Sasha draw her number for her position in the gauntlet match.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, Paul Heyman comes out, drops a promo.
I'm trying to remember what Sasha's face was. Does she have wind face when she pulled out that number?
No.
See, she should have been like jumping for joy. And Concha, like, everybody should have reactions that are commensurate with what number they drew.
I agree, but they want mystery, I guess. So everybody has the same reaction.
Like, she starts doing the running man or something. You do a good running man?
I used to.
Yeah, I can't do that.
I don't know if I still can.
I'm sure you could.
Heyman promo, hyping up the match between Lesnar and Samoa Joe.
Yeah, it was good.
And really doing a good job of putting Joe over, saying this is essentially so far the only man that could maybe beat Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, no, I like this. It was good.
So as Brock Lesnar comes out for his entrance, Joe attacks him from behind, puts him in the coquina clutch. Lesnar tries to fight it off. Ultimately gets to the point of almost passing out before the Revival and
the club
come out to break things up.
Okay, let me ask you something. You know how whenever if I'm like in a clowning around mood and I'm doing a thumbnail, I'll outline somebody's face in the thumbnail and turn them purple because it's hilarious every time to me, and I know you're always looking over my shoulder. Did they paint Brock Lesnar's face? Did you watch this closely?
Yes. His face turned bright red almost immediately.
This went beyond red. This was a scary shade of purple.
Yeah.
Of pinkish purple. Remember X Factor's lighting?
Thing? Yes, yes.
We kind of disagreed. He said it was purple. I said it was pink. It was whatever that, whatever the compromise on that was.
Yeah.
That's what color his face was.
Mm-hmm.
That's unnatural.
But that's also what happens when he gets in the ring and moves for like 2 minutes.
Yeah, I know. But this was so much far.
I think he was just holding his breath.
Yeah. Does that happen to you? Can we hold our breaths really quick?
Okay. Ready?
Yeah. I'm straining too. I mean, I could go longer, but like I'm holding it and straining at the same time.
Your face was getting a little pink.
His was so weird, though.
That's just the way
he's already like a chalky white guy, though. Like, I've had a little bit of sun on my face in the last couple, like, week or last couple days or whatever. It was so unnaturally pink, man.
Yeah. No, I understand your point.
It was weird. I kept staring at it.
It was nearly worrisome. You thought Joe was really choking him out.
I was kind of past worrisome. Do you remember? You saw Mad Men, right?
Yeah.
Remember that one fella hung himself?
Yeah.
And it seemed like that's probably what it would look like. They did a good job of the realism. His face was like super purple.
Yeah.
It was approaching that.
Yeah.
That was weird, man. That really messed me up. Anyways.
It sold the move, and it made Joe look great.
Yeah, Brock afterwards was really looked like he had been fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Then we had from 205 Live, Lince Dorado versus King of the Cruiserweight champion Neville.
Yes.
Akira Tozawa was sitting ringside with a nice little purple velvet rope there.
Yes, he had a container of popcorn, a hot dog, and a souvenir cup on a table next to him.
I didn't notice all that. That's awesome. So he had like the Steve special there. Okay.
Yeah. Great. For the no nachos, but
for the House of Horrors match. Well, they load me up. This is gonna be fun. let's see. So I loved. So it was a decent enough match. I loved how Neville went in to lock on the Rings of Saturn. He like did this weird sort of crawl.
Oh, yeah.
Creeping, crawling thing into it the whole time, staring at Akira Tozawa.
Yeah.
This was cool. I like this. And then so Neville ends up going over. Akira Tozawa, he starts taunting Akira Tozawa. Tozawa gets in the ring, starts unbuttoning his stuff, ready to throw down. Titus O'Neil comes out, and he announces that the newest signee to Titus Worldwide is Akira Tozawa, and the King of the Cruiserweights has nothing on the power of Tozawa.
Yes, and that Titus has signed a cruiserweight title match at Great Balls of Fire between Tozawa and Neville.
So this seems to be revealed, confirmed, Tozawa signed with Titus Brand.
Yeah.
And because Tozawa's in the ring looking hyped about the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's rad.
It is rad.
That's fantastic. It's awesome. I'm really happy about that. You guys should check out Titus O'Neil's TED Talk as well. It's like 20 minutes long. It's really worth a watch. Let's see here. Next up, we had Paul Heyman's interview. What did you think about his punchline here when he said, "Goodness gracious, Great Balls of Fire"?
He's trying to sell a pay-per-view.
You have the IP. Might as well. You have the copyright or the license for
yes.
it. Might as well use it. Yeah.
Next, we had a segment backstage between Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax.
Yeah.
I don't remember much about this.
Alexa asked Nia, "What number did you choose?" Nia said, she said, "Wouldn't you like to know?" Then Alexa said something like, "Both of us have been judged by the way we look." She says, "When I came up, nobody thought for a second that I'd succeed." And so she was just trying to ingratiate herself with Nia Jax. That's pretty much it. Nia Jax kind of.
And then she wished her good luck, and Nia says, "Thanks, I don't need it."
Yeah, actually, you do, Nia Jax.
Took us to our main event.
Yeah, I thought this was fantastic.
Yeah, this was really good.
So come on, look at this. We had purple Brock Lesnar. We'll talk about the match in a sec. We had purple Brock Lesnar. We had LeVar Ball. How was this not a great show?
It just wasn't.
Best Raw. Let's go back to the LeVar Ball thing really quick.
Oh, okay.
You said on the spectrum of worst segments on Raw, where did this fall for you?
Oh, I said it was too bizarre, too much of a train wreck to be the worst, because at no point was it boring.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Bayley, This Is Your Life, was not only bad, it was boring.
Where could this fall? Would this fall on the top five worst segments of the year?
I think it's a whole different category. I think there's worst, and then there's most bizarre.
Yeah, most bizarre. I was going to say most bizarre.
And that segment would definitely qualify as one of the most bizarre.
Oh, this segment is, you know how like Omega Okada? What's best match of the year right now for you? Man, I got to say Omega Okada 2. You're going to say 1, aren't you?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, wow. This, to me, is Omega Okada 1 and 2 combined, right? For most bizarre segment of the year. I don't think anything comes close.
I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
All right. Let's talk about this women's gauntlet match.
Yeah, first it was really good.
First up was Bayley, kind of renewing a pseudo feud that they've had in the past.
Oh, yeah, on and off for years. Yeah, back to their days in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Nia Jax went over with a Samoan drop.
Mm-hmm.
So
knocking Bayley off of the top turnbuckle.
Yeah.
She was going to try to go for a top rope move.
Yeah. So Bayley is apparently completely out of the title picture.
Yeah, would definitely seem to be that way. And then hearing her talk on a Stone Cold podcast.
Yeah, and then Cage Side Seats, we're going to talk about this in a lot more depth. Had a thing on the Rumor Roundup today about how she's not going to be as prominently featured on Raw going forward. Again, we're going to talk about it more on Dirt Sheet on Friday.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, at least hopefully they're not going to do the SummerSlam story where she kisses a boy for the first time.
Yeah.
I hope that doesn't
hopefully
happen.
Hopefully not. Yeah, I'm 100% agreeing with you on that one. I hope they don't. I'm just trying to think to myself, God, are they going to do that? Ugh, what a rip.
Certainly hope not.
Out next was Mickie James.
Yeah, Mickie James managed to hit her finisher, Kiki James, but Nia no-sold it completely. And then she just kind of, Nia more or less ran over Mickie, got the win.
Yeah.
Next, Dana Brooke. This was great.
This was great.
After Dana was in the ring for about 20 seconds, Nia dropped a huge leg drop on her.
Yeah, it was a good looking leg.
Even it was a fantastic leg drop.
Even the crowd popped for that.
I know. Oh, like Nia was getting super over by the time this match was over.
She was really over, man. I know.
It was a really impressive performance because she was out there for a long time.
And you've said this before, her in-ring character work was superb during this entire thing.
It has been for a very long time.
I thought was a standout moment for her.
Yeah, she knows really how to talk trash in the ring, make it sound believable.
Yeah.
So out next was Emma. Again, very short. Nia catches Emma when she's trying to jump off the top rope, hits a Samoan drop for the win.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if they should have flip-flopped Emma and Dana Brooke, because it would have been really interesting if Nia Jax got that pop when Sasha Banks came out.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like people really like Emma. Like, she's a heel, but like a lot of the crowd knows what Emma could do and what they should be doing with her, and they're not.
Yeah.
I thought, I was like, man, Emma might... I popped for Emma when she came out, because I'm like, man, after Nia just squashed Dana Brooke, this could turn into a match now. And it didn't. And that was a bummer to me.
I'm guessing they didn't anticipate that leg drop getting the pop it did.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah.
So next, Sasha Banks comes out, the final competitor in the gauntlet match to face Nia. Really good 12-minute match.
This was really good.
Early on, Sasha gets tossed outside the ring, sells an ankle injury, something that Nia would work from time to time. Nia hits the Samoan drop. Sasha smartly rolls under the ropes and then kicks Nia in the head when she comes over to grab her.
Yeah.
And then Sasha eventually wins with a bank statement after trying to lock it in several times.
Mm-hmm.
Good storytelling, fun match. Sasha got a really good pop when she won.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this was good. Then Kurt Angle comes down. I thought that was kind of weird. So, like, her music is playing. She's, like, in the ring. And then Kurt Angle comes out. Dun, 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 dun. And then he's all, like, having fun with the crowd and stuff. I don't know. It was a little weird. You don't see that very often. He came out just essentially to raise her hand.
Yeah.
And then Alexa Bliss came down, gets in the ring. Sasha gives her a drop kick.
Yeah.
And then steals her belt, raises it high, and then eventually gives it back to her.
Yeah. Solid end to an otherwise iffy show.
Where you get iffy from? It had the most bizarre segment of the year. The only thing it was lacking was an Elias Sampson song. Give me like 3 minutes of that.
I didn't find it to be an engaging episode of Raw for the most part.
You're just tired.
Could be.
I think we're just tired. Are we going to get right into SmackDown?
Yeah.
All right, let's kick into SmackDown.
It's the Super
now.
Show.
This is the Super Show. We're not stopping here, folks.
Nope.
We've got 2 hours of SmackDown to talk about, too.
See, I really enjoyed SmackDown. I thought it was a fun show.
Yeah, I know, man. It has me it has me all in I love this right here. Was my bit of the night right there.
Go ahead. Give me your overall opinion.
You know, I was so tired. Like, yeah. I watched SmackDown. Here's what I did last night. I watched the second hour of SmackDown Live. And then this morning I watched the first hour.
Okay.
Which I thought was fine. It was whatever. It was fine. It was good. Let me look at it really quick here. Yeah, I thought this went on weights. This when I was fast forwarding past this morning, there's some of this stuff took way too long. Some of the stuff took long. But the main event was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was really good.
So the show kicks off with Daniel Bryan hyping up the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match.
Let me ask something.
What?
Music Man. So the fly to the Valkyries.
Yeah.
Is that in public domain? The writing of it? Or the actual, like, if I performed it, do I owe anybody money?
I don't know. I'll have to look into that. It's an old song, so it could potentially be in the public domain.
If Daniel Bryan, once he started wrestling again, if he wanted to do some, like, power guitar stuff.
Yeah.
To that, yeah. Have somebody else record it. Wouldn't that be okay?
He wouldn't owe the WWE anything.
Right.
Yeah, so long as it's a different arrangement. Because you can't, like a piece of music in the public domain, you can't copyright the music, but you can copyright the arrangement.
Mm.
So they can copyright the version, the recorded version of the song, but not the song itself.
Oh, okay. Right. So if he just did like a different, as you say, arrangement.
Just a different recording of it.
To electric guitar, like some rock guitars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I love that.
Yeah, it's good.
Anyways, yeah, Daniel Bryan comes down, talks about, what are you talking about?
He's just hyping up the show.
Yeah, and then Carmel and Ellsworth come out to interrupt him. Man, I love the work Carmel is doing these days.
I know.
I really do.
I know.
I really do. I'm still not huge on the fact of this whole redo thing, but the match was good.
It was.
The match was really good, and it really hammered home the proper winner.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, in retrospect, it's okay, whatever.
Changing your opinion, that's true.
Anyways, Carmella and Ellsworth. So she drops her promo again, illustrating why she shouldn't have had the briefcase stripped from her anyways. Saying, you know, you're having this thing dangle above me. You know, do the right thing, blah, blah, blah. Then Ellsworth gets on the mic.
Yeah.
He ruins everything for her. Talks trash. What did he say? He said, I think you couldn't hack being in the ring anymore, and so you're gutless, and you made up your injury.
He said he didn't have the grapefruit to wrestle anymore in the ring, so he made up an injury so you didn't have to wrestle anymore.
Yeah, so Daniel Bryan sort of took what he said, absorbed it.
Got then, angry, calmed down,
yeah,
and said, you know, I said on Talking Smack last week that you'd be barred from ringside. Mm-hmm. I changed my mind.
Yeah.
You're going to be kicked out of the arena.
He said, security! And I, you know what, man? People backstage have to love Ellsworth.
Oh, yeah.
I would think that because he puts everything he has.
He takes what could be really bad ideas and makes them, for the most part, pretty enjoyable.
He does.
He really does.
When he was running away from security.
It was great.
It was fantastic. He tries to hop over the barrier and can't launch.
Yeah.
And so, like, security. And, like, seeing him, they did a good job. They cut to wide when he was running from. So, yeah, it was like a Benny Hill skit. Mm-hmm. You have, like, four security guards running after Ellsworth. I thought it was good. I thought it was funny. He puts everything he has into this stuff.
He does.
You got to appreciate that.
Yes.
Next up, we had Hype Bro versus the Usos. Saw this coming a mile away.
Yep. It was a decent match, but pretty short.
Yeah. What was crap about it is that
most of it happened during the commercial break.
Yeah, I know. And guess what? So I watched this portion of it on Hulu. Hulu doesn't have commercial breaks.
Oh, yeah.
So I missed a good portion of this match.
Yeah.
The heck? And like, they literally, it was so wonky. They come back from commercial, and within 15 seconds, the match is over.
I know.
Like, I just came back for the finish.
I like the idea of them running matches during commercial breaks in theory, but at the same time, it shouldn't be the entire match.
Yeah, I'm used to it now. I don't care about that. But yeah, man, you can't have the whole match.
Especially because I think when they first started doing it, there was primarily a lot of milling about. It wasn't a whole lot of action taking
place
during the commercial
breaks.
So you could kind of, you know, if you want to go to the bathroom, get a snack or something, you can still do that and come back and still watch the bulk of the match on TV. But the last couple of weeks, they haven't really been doing that. Anyways, Usos go over with a splash. New Day come out.
And make the most clever reference to the mini controversy from the night before. I thought it was hilarious. These guys, man, god damn it,
they are
so
the best.
They are so flippin' clever. It's fantastic. Anyways, they end up getting into a little bit verbally with the Usos. They have sort of a mini rap battle,
mm-hmm.
kind of.
Mm-hmm.
What happened after that? Oh, the Usos accepted their challenge for
Battleground. Yeah.
That's right.
And then it was announced later in the show that the Usos and the New Day will have a rap battle.
Oh, a proper rap battle.
Next week.
Okay. This is like an impromptu one.
Yes.
Okay. I like it.
Next, Fashion Vice. This was fantastic.
Hold on a second.
What?
Kofi's like punchline was something like, you guys are under, something like underdraws your booty. We're like Rudy. You're like underdraws your booty. And then they all start cracking up. And then Xavier Woods picks up Francesca and just says, ha-ha, balls!
I like when the Usos were leaving and Big E was taunting them by acting like he's pulling his pants down and pointing at it. They're the best.
They're the best.
They're so good.
Anyways, up next we had Fashion Vice.
This was awesome.
This was really, really good.
And shout out to The Ascension for delivering a quality performance.
I thought this was good, man. This was good. I know, me too. So anyways, they're interrogating. They're in an interrogation room. They have The Ascension there, and they're saying, why did you attack us?
Well, first they say, okay, we're going to do good cop, bad cop.
Yes, correct.
Cheddarfield's good cop. The banker is going to be bad cop.
Correct, yeah.
So Cheddarfield comes in. And says, okay, I believe you. You didn't do this. I want you to tell me more information about what you know, and I'm going to sweeten the deal by giving you two tickets to see Eddie Money. Got two tickets to Paradise, he says.
Yeah.
And then, which one is it?
Connor.
Says, we only listen to...
Grindcore metal, I think.
Thrash metal or something like that.
Yeah, grindcore thrash metal.
Because Victor is about to take the tickets.
Yeah.
That wasn't getting anywhere. So Chitterfield brings the banker in.
Tyler Breeze.
Yeah.
To the bad cop.
Yeah. And he comes in, lays out all his water guns,
mm-hmm.
trying to intimidate him. And then says, oh, so I have here's some iced tea. If you're thirsty, here's a cheese platter.
Yeah, he said, just tell me why you attacked me.
Yeah. And they said, well, we didn't. We just wanted to have a match on the pay-per-view.
Yeah. So then they commiserate, and he says, I think we just did good cop. Damn it. Chad Cheddarfield's great.
He is.
So perfect.
So they hear some noise from the next room. They go in there. Their office has been thrashed again.
Right.
Obviously not by the Ascension, because they're still in the interrogation room eating cheese and taking Eddie Money tickets.
Oh, yeah.
So we still don't know who is behind these acts of violence.
Power rankings. Who's behind these acts of violence? Five is now American Alpha. They're still faces. If it wasn't for the Kevin Owens open challenge, I would have said it's possible that it's American Alpha. Now there's not a chance American Alpha. They're at five. They've dropped all the way to five. Who could this be?
I mean, there's not a whole lot of other tag teams. There's the Clones, but they already had their program with
them. They've been dismissed.
It's not the Ascension. It doesn't seem to be.
Who else could this be? Are they going to bring the club over finally? It ain't the Authors of Pain. Evil Larson in the chat on the Patreon. $5 and up a month. Can see these live streams every week. Says Authors, not Authors of Pain. Can't be Authors of Pain. Let me ask you this. Is this going to be a comedy act that they're bringing in? Is this going to be something silly? Or is this going to be like an actual feud for them?
I'm
getting the feeling it's something silly.
It could be. I would prefer if it were the former, if it was a serious feud.
Yeah, I know.
I'm looking at the SmackDown roster here.
Literally,
I
can't
don't
be anybody.
Know.
It's literally not. Even I mean, over on in NXT, is there anybody they could potentially call up here? It's not way. No way. It's gonna be the Authors of Pain.
No. It's not Heavy Machinery. It's not TM61.
Is it? What didn't I say this before? Isn't it Sabatelli and
Oh, Moss
and Moss?
No,
couldn't be.
They're not ready for the main roster yet.
There's nobody. Let me ask you this: Does Creative know who this is?
I would like to hope so, but probably not.
Yeah, probably not. All right. Next up, we had Naomi versus Lana for this rematch for the women's title. This was, I guess, Dave Meltzer would call a dud.
Yeah.
Lana dropped her finish, like, to start the match.
Well, she attacked Naomi before the bell even rang.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah, she hit Naomi with what we think is her
what
finisher.
What is supposed to be her finisher, but
she never pinned anybody with it.
It does nothing.
So Naomi kicks out of that, kicks Lana in the head, hits a split-legged moonsault for the win.
Yeah, it was just that
fast. It was really quick.
It was really quick. But you know what? I kind of like that. It makes Naomi look strong.
Yep.
It's those little things that make her look strong. And Lana did a good job expressing her frustration.
Very much so.
Let's see here. Then we had a Becky Lynch interview. I don't remember.
She was talking about how now with Ellsworth being, you know, kicked out of the arena, mm-hmm. it'll be a fair fight between all the competitors in the match and that she's going to win.
They really, really teased, but they really went strong on the Becky Lynch thing. I wonder if they've got something.
She's been doing really good mic work.
Oh, yeah. She's been fantastic lately.
I'm guessing she's going to have a feud with Carmella.
I would think so.
Going forward. It seems like it's going to be Charlotte and Natalya based on what happened during the match. Mm-hmm. And then Becky and Carmella are going to feud.
Yeah. Next up, we cut to Aiden English in the ring. Started singing. I was really into it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I could listen to that guy sing
until Randy Orton's theme song hits.
Not good.
Interrupts everything.
Maybe if they get Aiden English to sing his theme song.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I hear voices in my head. So, Randy Orton basically
gives him an RKO during the commercial break.
Damn it, see? I missed that one.
And then he takes a chair and sits in the middle of the ring and starts talking.
He basically does a sit-in, saying, if I don't get what I want, which is another shot at Jinder Mahal for the title,
he's going to go back there and beat him up. He's going to beat him up in the locker room. And then when everybody leaves the arena, he's going to beat him up in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And then he says he's going to go to the airport tomorrow morning, beat him up there.
Yeah.
Essentially, he said he's going to beat him up wherever he can.
Right. Which prompted Shane McMahon to come out to the ring. He said, yes, you can have a rematch, but Jinder's going to pick the stipulation. Jinder came down and said, you're going to get a Punjabi prison match. I love that he spoke about the Great Khali with reverence.
Yes.
I love that. A lot of people clown Great Khali, but in India, from what I understand, he is a legend.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that he gave him, you know, his due reverence.
Agreed.
So, we're getting the Punjabi prison match back. What do you think about that? I'm okay with it.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a long time since we've seen
10 years.
One of those matches, yeah.
And I honestly, like, maybe we can do that for a pay-per-view review or something.
Yeah, something like a good idea, because I don't think I've ever seen one.
I don't think I've... Have they only done the one?
I think they've done 2 or 3.
Really?
I think so.
Okay. Did they all involve Great Khali?
Well, no, at least the one he had with Batista did.
Right, yeah.
But I don't know. I would guess so.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I would imagine, look, dude, it's Great Khali scaling. I saw pictures of him, like, scaling the cage, so to speak. But I don't know. Like, I think that Randy and Jinder can probably put on a much more capable Punjabi prison match than anything the Great Khali could have done.
Yeah, probably.
So my feeling is, I kind of like this. This is okay.
Well, there's been at least two.
Oh, have there?
The one with Batista and Khali. There's another one with The Undertaker and Big Show.
That's interesting.
They were different pay-per-views.
So I wonder what the impetus for that was.
I don't know.
Hmm.
Actually, that was the first one, was the Undertaker one.
Really?
Yeah, the Great Khali one was in 2007, and the Undertaker one was in 2006.
Well, there's some missing piece of the puzzle there we don't know about.
Yeah, this is just all from video clips on WWE.com.
Yeah.
Anyway, it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
What happens next? Daniel Bryan's on the phone backstage saying, yeah, it's going to be a Punjabi prison match.
Mm-hmm.
In walks AJ Styles, and mm-hmm. AJ wants clarification about how this U.S. Open Challenge works since he was the first to respond. Owens didn't recognize that. And then right as Daniel Bryan seemed like he's going to explain, in comes Kevin Owens.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of disappointed he didn't say, no, it's an open challenge, but you have to be from that city. He didn't mention that at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I thought, yeah, that was like the point of it.
That seemed crystal clear when he was doing it last week.
Yeah.
Anyways, next week we're going to have an Independence Day Battle Royal, the winner of which will face Kevin Owens at Battleground for the U.S. title.
Again, this sounds like a great show on the 4th of July.
Yeah, I will watch it, but just not live.
I would really love to watch it live, but it's on the 4th of July. I don't know what they're thinking with that. Anyways, next up, Mike and Maria Kanellis come down. They sort of replicate what they did.
Their awesome theme song.
Yeah, it was really great. But, the, you know, she says, I'm the first lady of
professional wrestling.
Professional wrestling. Like they start to get into something, I think, a little bit more in depth. And then Sami Zayn's music
interrupts. Yeah.
The double take he does, because he comes out in between them. He, you know, he does his normal thing.
Yeah.
And he sort of parts them and he gets down in his position to do the let's go thing. And he goes.
I know. And he goes, sorry, I got a match.
Like, he didn't realize they were there until he sort of looked and saw them. That look flipping killed me. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I just, something about it was just the obliviousness to come out in between them and then realize that they're there was great. I don't know. I'm easily entertained, people. What do you want?
That led to a match between Sami Zayn and Baron Corbin.
It was a good match.
It was.
It was a very physical match.
Yes.
Baron kept, he was really brutalizing Sami Zayn. I thought it was really cool.
Yes, working his lower back. Shinsuke Nakamura watching the match backstage.
With great interest.
Yes. Corbin eventually picks up the win with an end of days. After the match, interview bot, I believe, talks to Nakamura.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they've got Nakamura kind of in their back pocket in case they change their mind about who is going to carry that briefcase?
You think they might take it off Baron and put it on Nakamura?
Was it the Kevin Eck thing we're talking about all the time? Vince changed his mind after putting the briefcase on somebody and then deciding, nope, I don't want, or having remorse about, or buyer's remorse about putting the briefcase on people he chose to, like Dolph.
I mean, I think
like Daniel Bryan.
What was I read? I think it was the Observer I read. This phrase that Vince likes to use. Well, he says something like, show me the stone, meaning like nothing's written in stone. Mm. And so anything can change at any time, the Vince way of things. I think that, I don't know if that's actively on their mind.
I don't know if it is for sure, but when I see that, that's the first thing, especially, you know, in light of how kind of fickle Vince is with Money in the Bank briefcase winners.
Yeah, but look at how strong, I mean, Corbin destroyed,
no, I know.
Essentially destroyed
I know.
Sami Zayn.
I know, but say in 3 months he hasn't cashed in. They're not happy with how stuff has progressed. Shinsuke's super over.
I think it's a possibility.
Yeah.
It's a possibility.
I'm just trying to think what else could motivate their feud.
Food.
Yeah. Tell us on my mind right now.
Yeah, I don't know. Something to look out for. Next up, we had a Shinsuke Nakamura interview. He talked a little smack about Baron Corbin.
Mm-hmm.
New Day. They announced the rap battle. Then that led us to the second ever Women's Money in the Bank ladder match. I thought this was fantastic. I thought
it was
really
good.
One, besides the finish, was fantastic. I thought they brought some more creativity here. I like the bit where Charlotte used a ladder to get on the ladder. That was kind of interesting.
Yeah, that was very something Shelton Benjamin used to do all the time.
Yeah, that was fun. Run down some of the shit that happened here.
So early on, there was a lot of, you know, trading of moves. Becky was doing Bexploders to all sorts of people.
Mm-hmm.
Things really started picking up. There's this one spot where Tamina and Charlotte were holding a ladder up vertically, and Becky tries to climb it to get the briefcase. And then eventually they move the ladder. She falls.
Mm-hmm.
There's a spot where Charlotte, Tamina, Becky, and Natalya are all fighting on the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
Ladder falls
like that.
Over.
Yeah, I like that. That was good.
There was this cool spot where Carmella takes the opportunity to climb up the ladder. Everybody else in the match comes too. While she's reaching for the briefcase, the other four competitors pick up the ladder and move it to the side of the ring so she can't do it. Carmella hits a splash off the ladder.
Yeah, that was cool.
On Natalya and Becky. Later on, Charlotte and Carmella are fighting on the ladder. And then Tamina pushes the ladder over.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly after that, Natalya and Charlotte. Oh, I didn't write down the part where, or did I? Oh, this was the part, where Tamina was underneath the ladder and pushed it over after Charlotte was, like, beating her with it. After that, Natalya and Charlotte go into the crowd and start brawling.
Mm-hmm.
Ellsworth runs in through the crowd, helps Carmella back into the ring. Ellsworth tries to climb the ladder to get the briefcase again.
Mm-hmm.
Becky pushes the ladder over. Ellsworth falls on the ropes in his front area.
Mm-hmm.
Sells a front area injury.
Yeah.
Falls to the outside. Becky starts climbing the ladder. Carmella comes in with a chair, hits her, goes, gets the briefcase. Once again, Money in the Bank winner, Carmella.
Yeah. So we're done with that. Like, we're done with the women's Money in the Bank thing for now. Mm-hmm. I just don't know why that couldn't have been, like, the first match.
Oh, I know.
You know?
I know.
Like,
it'll be interesting to see either later today or tomorrow what the ratings are like.
Yeah, I mean, you mean if they feel validated, yes, by doing that?
If they would consider a ratings pop a success in their minds.
Yeah, Raw was down a little bit. Raw was down 4%, mm-hmm, from the week before. Mm-hmm. So if this doesn't go down 4%, let's say this moves down 1%,
mm-hmm,
you know, if it's not in lockstep with Raw,
yeah,
then maybe they'll consider it a success. If it goes up 1%, maybe they'll consider it a success.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it is what it is. I thought there was a lot of creative bits in the first one. I thought there was a lot of creative bits, yeah, in the second one. I don't know the reason for doing that. Like,
it's just pop ratings. That's all it was.
There's so many other ways.
I agree. I mean, there's a lot of ways to get heat on Carmella and Ellsworth, and there's a lot of other ways
and
to pop ratings.
Look, that part was successful because she comes down now, and there is a definitive audience reaction to her, and it's exactly, I think, the reaction they want. If that was their, just doing it to pop ratings, it's a possibility. It's a possibility. I would think it's more to get Ellsworth and Carmella over his heels.
I think if that was the primary goal, they wouldn't have had the rematch on SmackDown Live.
Yeah. Two birds with one stone, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it's 1A and 1B.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. It was what it was. It was
Still a fun match.
Yeah, no, it was a fun match.
And I'm happy that Carmella still won, because otherwise it would have just taken all her heat right away from her if she hadn't won that.
Oh, I know. They did that right. At least there's that. Yeah. They really, really teased Becky there at the end, though. Mm-hmm. I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, wait, where are we now on questions?
We have two threads. We have one for Raw, one for SmackDown.
What is today?
Today's the 28th.
Where's the 27th?
No, you have it under Raw Recap, QA, and Update. That's where the question thread is.
Oh, here it is. Okay. All right, so first we're going to tackle some questions about Raw. Then we're going to tackle some questions about SmackDown.
SmackDown, yes.
All right. Nope. Load
I
more.
I feel like you're having some problems over there.
Questions. I'm just loading some questions. You feel free to.
Paul Iannotta. Hey, friendos. Do you think WWE could make a 3-person tag team championship work? They have a lot of talent who mill about, and wrestlers can be single stars and compete in 3-man matches. It'd be cool, but I don't think it's going to happen.
What is that, a trios title?
Yeah.
That'd be great. I don't see it happening now. If they keep on snatching up talent, I can see that.
Yeah, and it'd probably be a necessity if they keep snatching up talent.
Yeah. Brock without the K. Lesnar. Is it just me or is Big Cass so much better with promos when he is speaking as a heel rather than a face?
Heels have more fun.
Yeah, there was a... Yeah. I mean, that's the bottom line. I feel like there is an element of being a bit freer.
Yeah.
When you're a heel.
Yeah. So,
yeah, sure.
Evil Larson. Hey, friendos. Also Larson, a.k.a. Evil Larson here. With Sasha becoming number one contender for Alexa's title at Great Balls, how do you see this storyline going down? Is Sasha going to be treated the same way as Bayley, or can these two ladies elevate the division to a level close to where Charlotte and Sasha did last fall? I mean, they're already not treating Sasha the same way they did Bayley.
I kind of feel like there was some non-reporting on Sasha, perhaps, maybe. Let me ask you something. Sasha doing the 205 Live thing. Punishment or trying something for 205 Live?
I think it's more trying something for 205 Live. If it was punishment, I don't see why she'd get a title shot so soon thereafter.
Well, I know, but it's kind of like, you know, Roman's getting punished. Why is he getting a U.S. title shot?
This is speculation on my part. Maybe it's a situation where, like, you know, essentially, hey, we want you to go on 205 Live. Don't worry, we got something for you afterwards. You know, something major,
mm-hmm,
you know, so I imagine that would be the situation.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I don't know what, you know, granted, I know they seem to punish people for ridiculous things. I don't know what Sasha would be punished for.
Yeah, no, I know. I agree. And we haven't heard anything. Usually we do.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Terrence Thompson says, I'll make a point here. Terrence Thompson says, so instead of showcasing some forgotten talents, we got an unbearable LeVar Ball segment. Brock without the K. Lesnar says, makes the good point here, is the point I was going to make. Yeah, it was terrible, but ESPN and every sports entertainment network will be all over this. That is absolutely the truth. The next morning, my dad was telling me about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they that was definitely mission accomplished.
Yes. Tommy T, hey, friendo. So, with most logic pointing to Cody Rhodes beating Okada this weekend.
I don't know about that.
What other WWE superstars that haven't done much of anything in the indies could have a Cody-type run through the whole indie scene? So, current WWE superstars who may not have had an extensive history in the independent scene.
You've mentioned this before, Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's if he's too Dolph Ziggler for that.
Well, I mean, he couldn't be Dolph on the indies because WWE owns that name.
But if people associate him too much with the WWE. But then I guess the same could have been said about Cody.
Bray Wyatt. In 2 years, if he gets cut or asks for his release because they're not doing anything with him, he can make a fortune on the indies.
Yeah. That could be. Yeah, good question. Jason the Cabbie, with the way the gauntlet match was booked, it was the only way to get Sasha over Nia legitimately. However, it just seems like Nia will never actually see a title run. They make her out to be a monster obstacle for the rest of the women to overcome, yet never put her on the top of that mountain. What do you think? Why do you think WWE has no problem with monster men holding gold, but monster women are cold-watered? I think it's still early for her.
Yeah.
I think that she legitimately could carry the title. I think Jason feels the same. I just feel like they probably have a loose plan for her.
Mm-hmm.
Probably involves Survivor Series.
I mean, they've been teasing something between Nia and Alexa Bliss for a while now.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I think...
Do you think that's how it's going to go down with Nia getting the belt?
I mean, it seems the most plausible scenario at this juncture.
Which would preclude Sasha Banks from winning. Yeah, coming up. Yeah. Probably on the same.
Unless they do a thing where Sasha wins at Great Balls, Alexa gets a rematch at SummerSlam and takes it back there.
People want to cheer for Nia. Mm-hmm. They want...
I mean, we saw that last night.
Yeah, I know.
Monday night, sorry.
I think she's going to be a decent face.
Yeah.
I mean, she's not really there now. She's just sort of monster. I don't know. Sometimes monster... You know, super.
Well, it's sort of like Braun Strowman. Granted, being in the program with Roman Reigns has helped him get over.
Right.
But, you know, the people like watching people just beat up other people in the wrestling ring.
Yeah.
The lunatic cringe, Drew Q. Hey, friendos, what are the chances that Bo Dallas gets somewhat over as a part of the Miztourage? As a former NXT champ, I think there's some potential with the right gimmick and especially the heel beard he's been sporting recently. I'm happy he got the win. We have been singing Bo Dallas's praises for a long time here on the show.
Yeah.
We would love to see him get an opportunity.
But the question is, what are the chances that Bo Dallas gets somewhat over as part of the Miztourage? The rest of his comment is completely true. Definitely some potential, right gimmick, heel beard he's been sporting. Will he get over as part of the Miztourage?
I'm super skeptical
about that. But everything else he said is right. Jack Dolan, with the antics on the Miz TV segment getting into the mainstream, do you think the WWE believes any publicity is good publicity, especially after the whole Ellsworth controversy? No, because they would get a ton of controversy if another Chris Benoit incident happened, and I guarantee you they don't want that publicity.
Yeah. Yeah. CM Punk finds it insulting. It seems wrestling themes keep getting better with Kenny Omega, Asuka, and Nakamura being three of the best I've heard in a while, but others like Ambrose and Cedric Alexander's were low points. What are the three best and three worst theme songs in all of wrestling right now? Best, Bobby Roode.
All of wrestling or all of WWE NXT?
No, he says all of wrestling.
All of wrestling. Where does Taguchi Japan fall?
Ooh, that's high.
Bobby Roode,
Taguchi Japan
and the Canalises.
Yeah, that's good too. Oh, Lana's going to be on there, too. Lana's theme is great.
Yeah, I know. But look, there's a lot of great theme songs. But those three, I feel, are, at this moment, transcendent.
Okay. Worst.
Oh, man. They could all kind of fall into the worst category, too. Because they're so
Ambrose
bad.
Is pretty lame.
Yeah, but it's so... How is Ambrose different than Seth Rollins or Kevin Owens? I feel like they were all made in the same session.
The thing with Dean Ambrose is that right when the song gets going, has momentum, it stops.
Yeah.
And does that burn and just starts over again.
Starts over,
it never really gets going. At least Seth, when it takes a little break.
Oh, Aleister Black is up there for
too. Yeah. At least when Seth, there's a little bit of a breakdown in his song, but it doesn't sap the momentum of the song.
Yeah. But I just feel like they just thematically, atmospherically.
Oh, they all kind of sound the same. Yeah,
the same thing. God, Roman Reigns' theme song makes me want to fall asleep.
You mean the Shield's theme?
Yeah.
Which is essentially Taz's first theme.
God, this is going to take a long time.
It is just Taz's first theme slowed down.
Yeah, but that's a pretty big difference. Taz's theme was amazing.
Yeah, it was.
That was great. Oh, you're totally right about that. What are other worsts? What are worsts? I'm really bummed out they changed Patrick Clark's theme song. That really, they should have just kept the same sort of, you know, thing, but then added some bells and whistles to it.
Yeah.
With Bailey kind of floundering, her theme song kind of like just is a bummer now too.
Yeah.
It fits her, but it doesn't really fit where she's at right now.
Matt Edwards, so far this Wyatt Rollins feud has really fell flat. I honestly don't know why they are fighting other than Wyatt didn't win the Fatal 5-Way match. And Rollins doesn't like being interrupted by Bray every week. What would you guys do to maybe light a fire under this feud? I would have tried to blend the Roman Strowman feud for a bit of a watered-down Shield versus Wyatt's action, but that's pure fantasy booking. Thanks anyways, friendos, and keep up everything you guys are doing. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
This is
a classic example of a Bray Wyatt feud that has zero motivation behind it. There is nothing there.
Yeah.
I'm a god. No, you're not. Let's fight.
Pretty much.
That is so crap.
I'm wondering why they put the brakes on. I guess because they want something major for Seth going to Great Balls of Fire, but they had been laying the groundwork for
Bray Finn.
Yeah, and that could have been a feud that lasted several months.
See, I'd be cool with that at like friggin' SummerSlam. I mean, you're right. You're right. I mean, it could take us through to SummerSlam.
It could take you through almost the end of the year if they do it right.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I okay, so what could we do? I mean, honestly, anything to give it some... I mean, look at... like, yeah, we hated the resolution to it. Well, we hated the Mania match. I thought House of Horrors was fun. It was stupid, but it was fun.
It was stupid.
But look at Bray Randy. Like, a good chunk of that feud was they were doing some different, interesting things.
Yeah.
It wasn't just Bray showing up on the Titantron. Lights go out. Bray might be in the arena. He might be in the ring somewhere. Lights go out. Then he's gone again. It's just, and then he just talks a lot about being a god. Like, I don't know, but man, you're using a lot of time on this. Use it for something interesting. Do something different. Go outside the arena somewhere.
Yes.
I don't know. It's Bray Wyatt. Like, there's so much you can do there.
I know.
Whether or not.
Answer some SmackDown questions.
Okay, we'll go over to SmackDown.
Connor Dunmore. Who should be the champion when Carmella cashes in? What event should it be at? Makes the most sense for Becky to be champion.
Yeah, it does. But how are they going to get Naomi's the... Or would Carmella cash in on Naomi and then Becky would chase her for the title?
Could be.
Maybe that's going to be the
Could thing. Be. Hamza Halal. What other absurd gimmick matches would you like to see make a return? He wants the Three Stages of Hell match to make a comeback. That's a good answer. Three Stages of Hell.
Which one was that again?
I think it's
this Kevin Sullivan thing.
No, it's like it's like a gauntlet match, but with three gimmick matches. I think there's Extreme Rules, a steel cage, and something else. It's two out of three falls. Inferno match.
Oh, you love the Inferno match.
Actually, they're not good.
No, they're not. Nobody wants to get set on fire. Give me a flipping the Ready to Rumble match.
Oh, the cages Doomsday
on top
cage.
Of cages on top
yes.
of cages.
Or War Games.
Yeah, War Games is that's always the go-to answer right there.
War Games. Gage Cottawas. Hey, friendos. With G1 Climax giving us Zack Sabre Jr. versus Kota Ibushi, which could have been the Cruiserweight Classic Finals, do you think it'll be a better match than what we got in Grand Metalik versus TJP?
So the question is TJP versus Grand Metalik, not is Zack Sabre Jr. versus Kota Ibushi going to be better than that?
Yeah.
Yes.
It has all the potential to be.
Yes. Yes.
There's probably at least three or four matches that happened during the Cruiserweight Classic that would have been, in terms of story and stuff, a better final match than what we got. Not to say that match was bad, because it wasn't.
Oh, well, the best match of the entire thing was Kota Ibushi versus Cedric Alexander.
Mm-hmm. That was in the second round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, Kota Ibushi, Brian Kendrick was great, too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really good matches.
Not to take anything away from the finals.
That was good match, too.
It was a fine match.
Tyler Vance, how do you feel about a potential feud between Mike Kanellis and Sami Zayn? He says, I'm not too familiar with Mike's work, but having Zayn be his first opponent on SmackDown would be great for him. Sami can put over just about anyone while keeping himself over as well. Love to know your thoughts. Yes.
Agree 100%.
Yes.
And I hope that that little incident was going to lead to that. CM Punk finds it insulting. I find it insulting. A personal dream match of mine is Colt Cabana versus Yano in a 30-minute comedy match. What's an obscure dream match you would love to see? What's that monster, crazy monster guy? Desperado, wait, in Suzuki Gun, like the Frankenstein.
Oh,
guy.
Izuka.
Izuka versus Braun Strowman.
Okay.
I want to see that.
I don't know if this is crazy, but Matt Riddle versus RVD.
Oh, man, you just won. Well done. But Matt Riddle will have to time travel to like 1996.
Yeah. Super Nerdy Sama. Hey, friendos, the presentation of Aiden English is almost Elias Samson-like. The difference is the obvious push Samson is getting versus English eating RKOs and jobbing for other faces.
He didn't just eat an RKO.
It was during commercial break. What could be done to make his opera gimmicks stand out?
Oh, man, I don't know. Do they? I mean, is there any chance the WWE thinks that can go any further than it's going right now? You know? Do you think go any? I personally love him singing. I think it's great.
Oh, yeah, it is great.
But it's not as cool as Elias Samson.
Mm-mm.
The problem is he's a good singer.
And so far, he's not really talking trash about the city he's in.
No, he's not at all. He's just sort of putting himself over.
Yeah.
Sean Hulver, what do you think the chances are of Baron Corbin cashing in on the winner of the title match at Battleground and then facing Cena at SummerSlam?
I think the more likely scenario is he cashes in at SummerSlam after Cena wins the belt from Jinder Mahal.
Ooh, I like that. That's good.
So that way Cena, I mean, it's kind of a, it'd be Cena's record-breaking title win,
mm-hmm.
But I guess in one sense it's kind of lame if he wins it and then gets cashed in on right
oh,
away.
Oh no, that's perfect.
But I think it's perfect
his,
too.
Are you kidding? The celebration interrupted by Baron Corbin
cashing in,
nuclear heat. Although people love it,
I know
they will mark out so hard.
I know
that celebration is cut short.
I know.
You imagine they dump like streamers and confetti, and as it's coming down, Baron Corbin's in the ring,
like with the confetti. He
yes.
comes down from the ceiling with the confetti.
Obviously, that's how it would go. No, they're never doing that again.
Empire of Cleanliness, Andrew Mullen. Hey, friendos. So I think a lot of us can agree that Zayn's Blue Thunder Bomb and Corbin's Deep Six are really cool-looking moves, but those moves never seem to end the match, which I think is a shame.
Yeah, they should be finishers.
Yeah. Sammy always thinks it's a finisher. What moves would you like to be booked stronger as finishers?
Oh, what a great question. Lana's finisher.
Yeah.
It's like the one move she knows how to do.
I know.
And you can see her going through the, okay, I put the leg here, do this here, and then, oh, there we go. And then
Kevin Owens, out. Whenever he does the package powerbomb.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
There's like three or four moves Kevin Owens does.
No, I agree with that.
Same with AJ Styles.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Speaking of AJ Styles, Chris Kimmel says, hey, friendos. Am I the only one that thinks it's obvious that AJ is going to win the Independence Day Battle Royal? And do you think next week we'll finally see Ty Dillinger?
Who?
I wouldn't be surprised if Kevin Owens keeps AJ Styles from winning the Battle Royal. And then AJ can Kevin Owens can face whomever at Great Balls of Fire. Win. And that way we get Owens, AJ at SummerSlam. Keeps the feud fresh and gives a... Owens a decent run with the belt before probably dropping it to AJ at SummerSlam. That's what I think.
Okay. Sounds good. Do you think we're going to see T.Y. Dillinger? Who's that? Who is that man?
Yeah, he'll probably be in the Battle Royal.
Who is that man?
I hope so. So you know who he is.
Who is that man?
You're doing his...
No, man, I'm just shaking out my fingers.
No, you're not.
Like, they're feeling a little raw right now. All that driving yesterday.
Yes.
Moving on.
Tyler
Wagner. He said power rankings of possible fashion police attackers. We did that.
We tried to.
We did that. We have no idea who number one and two could be. No idea.
No.
Let me ask you this.
Is
it somebody on current roster or is it somebody on SmackDown's roster, Raw's roster, NXT's roster?
I think it's
somebody we haven't seen before.
I think it's Redragon.
To Dragon again?
Mm-hmm. I don't, honestly, but.
That'd be cool. Mm-hmm. Neat.
JT, so what if instead of Zach turning on Mojo, it was Mojo who turns on Zach? I think that would be more interesting and unpredictable. Also, has there ever been a heel turn that truly surprised you where you didn't see it coming at all?
I didn't see Ciampa turning on man, that was shocking.
It really was.
That was really emotional mm-hmm. moment for me.
Mm-hmm.
Mayor of Millville, Ryan Linkus, says, so Carmella was on Talking Smack, and she said she's the only ever two-time winner of Money in the Bank, making her better than everyone else. Was this not a blatant attempt of WWE ignoring CM Punk and his accomplishments, specifically winning back-to-back Money in the Banks? I mean, Carmella seems to be a damn historian when it comes to Money in the Bank.
After true. Laying she out should her realize case. That CM Punk is the first two-time winner, the only two-time winner.
So, is this a WWE?
Edge held the briefcase twice, but only won one Money in the Bank ladder match.
I know, the second one was so good, though.
That's one of the many neat things Again, Edge has done.
Again, the 10 best, it's the be 10 at least most 30. Neat things.
At least 30.
Edge has done.
Nate Morris. So with Raw having a Women's Gauntlet main event and SmackDown having the Women's Money in the Bank main event, do you think this was done because of the release of GLOW the past weekend?
I don't necessarily think one has to do with the other, but I'm sure the WWE is happy to, you know, happy for the inadvertent synergy there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people were talking a lot about it. The Bulgarian Bruiserweight, Aaron G., how would you book Jinder Mahal for SummerSlam? Who does he defend the title against, and does he retain or drop the belt? He definitely drops the belt, probably to
John Cena.
John Cena. Ooh, well done.
Do, 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 do.
John Cena.
I just had an idea. Hold on a second. Wouldn't it be kind of neat if Great Khali came back and helped
yes.
Jinder retain?
Yes.
That'd be incredible.
Whoa. That'd be good. Did he leave with a good...
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I think it'd be pretty neat, though. All right, one more question.
Uno mas. There is no kayfabe corner today.
No trivia either.
This is a super show.
Yeah, it's about an hour and a half long, so...
Right, right. He says, so I think a lot of us can agree that... Oh, I'm sorry. Andrew Mullen. Oh, never mind. Already answered that one. See, I was going from the bottom going up.
Ah. Okay. Hidden Leaf Village champion Namikaze Minato. Should Carmella dump Ellsworth and join Baron Corbin? Baron Corbin is the lone wolf.
Yeah, no. No. I don't want to see anybody with Baron Corbin. No. I would love to see Big Cass back with Carmella somehow. That'd be great.
I think that would be great, too.
Anyways, that's it for now. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later. Patrons will hang out for a little bit.
Yep.
And hang out with you guys. So thanks for watching. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.